Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right. Only one dude with the stones to walk up to this song. His name is Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. What up, Greenberg? How you doing, bud?
Super duper. How are you boys doing?
Sounds like you're doing better than Davey Martinez. Nats have lost 10 in a row, dude. They're a mess. They were losing 10-1 to the Rockies last night, which are barely a 4A baseball team. Where you at in Natstown, dude?
Well, I just did a story on the Rockies being historically bad. And if you lose to a historically bad team, you know, it's not great for you. I heard Rizzo on the Junkies this morning. He certainly sounded like a guy that wasn't looking to make a managerial change anytime soon. I have to think if the Nats get swept by the Rockies, that's something that we probably address. But it's difficult to. It takes a lot to fire a manager mid-season. I don't think that those are lightly made moves. I know we've seen a couple so far this year, but those are some really bad teams. I don't know if the Nats fall into like the really bad teams category, even though they're losing to a really bad team. So I'm not surprised that Rizzo is staying where he is. I don't think a managerial change changes anything, but the Nats they're just in an unfortunate spot. Losers of 10, the last two to a really bad team, you know, it's definitely going to get people talking.
Yeah, it gets people talking, but I think eventually, like, you keep hearing I mentioned this to Mark Zuckerman about be patient. That's the message to fans. Today is trying for everybody. Be patient. I'm buying tickets. I want to see better production. If I don't see it, if you don't fire somebody and then the fans stop going, then they're going to have to fire people.
Yeah, sometimes you make a move for making a move's sake. But I will tell you one thing that I got from the Rizzo interview, and that's never underestimate the value of winning a World Series, because he pretty much pointed to that and said, you know, the media and everybody, fans, wanted the change in 2019, and look what ended up happening. That's certainly a vote of confidence. But, you know, again, I mean, this is a rebuild. The Nationals weren't supposed to be competitive or good or really do much yet. They probably won't until they spend some money. It doesn't – you can change the manager, but doesn't mean the team's going to improve right away.
Do you think they should fire Davey, Greenberg?
No, I don't. I don't think that this is a managerial thing. You look at the club, and they're going through the growing pains, right? I mean, you know, Dylan Cruz is certainly struggling to figure it out, but he's young. You know, you have James Wood, who's doing really well. You have some pieces here and there, but it's a young team, and there's going to be growing pains. And, it certainly sounds like Davey – Rizzo believes Davey has done it before and can do it again. And I just, you know, a managerial change is not going to mature this team. It's not going to get veterans on the team. It's not going to, you know, inflate the payroll to where they bring in superstar players. Just ride it out and see what happens.
But the question is, how long is winning the World Series going to be the excuse? Because that's 6 years ago. They're in a rebuild, which is in the fourth year now. It doesn't look like it's going to change next year or the following year. So I understand that, you know, like when you look at the super, super teams and you look at the super levels or even college football, people win the championship and they get fired if they're not getting things done. So, and I know Davey is not the only person at fault. ownership, front office, players not playing it the way they're supposed to play. Everybody's at fault. But one guy seems to be getting all the blame when everything is going on. And guess who's footing the bill? Fans.
Yeah, I mean, I get the frustration, and I get wanting to point to something being done that says to the fans, losing is not acceptable. And that's probably the biggest communication point we have here. And when you're losing to Colorado and you have the 10-game losing streak and you're not making any changes, you're saying that the fans just have to kind of eat it a little bit, and this is the way it's going to be, and we'll change it down the road.
Yeah.
And I certainly get, you know, the needing a scapegoat. I mean, that's a part of the business. But I just don't know if fans are going to care, because if the change doesn't do anything,
right,
then you're still left where you're at. And I don't know. This doesn't have a fix. I guess that's my point. Like, there's no fix. And if it makes fans feel better to fire Davey, then I guess you have to bring that into the calculus. But, you know, to fire someone and not have any change results, to me, just doesn't seem like the smart move.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you could lean on this World Series from 2019, but Bill Belichick got fired. Bobby Bowden got fired. Coaches get fired. And it seems like they want to just get through the year. And, it, you know, Zuck told us that there's a clause in his contract. Like, they seem to just want to ride it out. I feel like they have a disinterested ownership group. Or at least a splintered, are we selling this thing or not ownership group? I don't know. I don't have a direct line to ownership. But to me, it's like you could fire Davey or not. Vegas still had you winning 71 games going into the season. And maybe you're underperforming that. My two biggest concerns specific to Davey are, is there a lack of vocality? Like, is his laid-back nature just not hitting the right buttons right now? Do you need someone that can challenge umps and challenge players and challenge people more? And then my biggest concern, this team is all about these young studs becoming stars, right? What does losing like this do to them? Those are questions. I don't know that there's answers, but that to me, like, if I have to point to what I find the most concerning, it's those two things.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a question to ask. You know, is Davey, what slice of the blame pie does Davey have
right.
for Dylan Cruz batting 196, right? And mm-hmm. and is he standing in the way of Cruz's further development? You know, that's certainly a question worth asking. I don't know what the answer is. But that's certainly a question worth asking. But I still think that that's a question that could be answered at the end of the season and not necessarily make a big change during the season.
Yeah.
But again, you know, people need scapegoats.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg. Talking with Neil Greenberg here, Washington Post. You can give him a follow at @NGreenberg. Of course, Neil joins us via the Rood guest hotline. Rood is the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. You know, before the Nats were losing 10-1 to the Colorado Rockies last night, you and I had texted or maybe tweeted about having a conversation about luck and luck in sports. And before we get to the football side of this, like, even just looking at the Nats, they were 15-12 last month. Now they're 2-13 through 18 days of June. Sometimes things just shift on their own. And maybe they just need a couple breaks and just get a win. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and look, luck is pervasive in all sports. It's one of the reasons why we love it, because it's what helps underdogs win. You know, if luck didn't exist, the best teams would always win. Like, you wouldn't have the Leicester Cities of the world, and you wouldn't have a team like the Pacers, you know, playing for an NBA championship. I mean, you know, luck is a big factor in sports. But I always point to, you know, flipping a coin, right? There's a 50-50 chance of getting heads on any fair flip. But you can go 2, 3, 5, sometimes 10 flips without ever seeing heads. And it doesn't mean that the coin is flawed or your technique is flawed. Like, sometimes it just happens. And it could happen at the worst time. It could happen at the best time. And with baseball in particular, 162 games, 4 at bats a game, you know, you're trying to put a, you're trying to hit a ball that's coming at you at 100 miles an hour. You know, like, there's so much that goes into it that you're going to have hot and cold streaks. That's just the nature of the game. And there's just no way to divorce yourself from that in any sport. Luck is pervasive, and, you know, it's a tough one because we want, you know, as like a data analyst, like, I want to be able to quantify everything, but obviously luck is one of those things that's just very difficult to quantify.
Well, what is it? What up with the people that try to quantify luck then?
Well, that was part of what I want to talk about today. I mean, my colleague Sam 48 wrote a really good article about luck in the NFL and how it affects Washington Commanders. And I absolutely have no problem with people doing that. I've written about luck myself. Like, I like that part. I think the person that he interviewed who goes under the name Data with Bliss on Twitter is a very smart guy. Does a lot of good analytical stuff for the NFL. Really smart, knows what he's doing. I just have a difficult time, like, trying to say, you know, we know what luck is. We know how to quantify it, and we know how it affects teams. I think we need to take a step back a little bit. My biggest problem, and this is going to sound so silly, like, my biggest problem with the win probability added stuff is that it uses decimal places. And to me, using a decimal place means that you have certainty. Like, to say something is
99.86.5%
means, like, you are certain. And there's just no way you could be certain with how luck affects the outcome of any, you know, team event, at bat, throw, etc. So I have a big problem with that. I have a big problem with not explaining, you know, when you're saying that a drop pass adds, let's say, 38% to the win rate, win probability, what that really means is, like, the average drop pass adds that. What really happens, though, is it could be anywhere from 20 to 50%, depending on who it is, when it happens, et cetera, what the stakes of the game are. And I just think context, you know, we talked about this before, like, context is really important. And the other thing we don't know is, what does it mean? Like, if a player drops a pass, like, what does that mean going forward? Does that mean he's always going to drop a pass? Does that mean that that's the only pass he's going to drop this season? Does that mean that it was all his fault? Was it 10% his fault? Was it 50% his fault? Like, there's just so many levers that we don't know if they go up or down, left or right, or diagonally. Mm-hmm. And I just have a hard time, like, trying to put too fine a point on luck in most sports, especially football, when, you know, it's a weird shaped ball that just bounces around everywhere. And, you know, sometimes it goes your way and sometimes it doesn't.
But, like, the thing, like, for me, being in practices all my life, and I watch the guys that BS and I watch the guys who really work. And then once practice is over, there are guys who go home and do nothing pertaining to football. But that other guy goes home and studies football and studies the plays and all. And he seems to always have good luck. But the other guy don't always have good luck. And people act like work and practice and doing stuff consistently has nothing to do with the outcome. That's where I'm completely lost, where, like, what they did last year, you watch them, it completely changed from one year to the next. So, yes, it could. Luck is something that's around in this world. But a lot of times you make your own luck by the way you prepare. And I think preparation has to be counted.
Yeah, without a doubt. Luck is the residue of design, right? Like, if you can influence luck in a lot of different ways. Like you said, hard work, practice, you know, getting out on the field, a quarterback and his wide receiver working on timing 10 times versus 100 times. Like, you know, if one of them drops a pass or is behind or early or whatever, you know, someone's going to say, well, that was just some bad luck because he was a step short. But, you know, that's the difference between 10 reps and 100 reps, right? So, you know, you have to take that into account. And you know, the other thing is, let's use the Washington Commanders as an example, not because they're local, but because how much has changed. And to say, like, you know, in 2023, you know, they were this lucky of a team, and then in 2024, they were this lucky of a team. There was so much change that happened. Like, not only can you not make that comparison, but I don't even think that it's fair to use them in the data set to talk about other teams in the future, because it was a unique situation with ownership change, general manager change, coaching changes, quarterback changes, rookie quarterback doing well. Like, there's just so many pieces that are moving around. And then we'll talk about the short sample size of only 17 games, 16 games in some seasons. Like, I just have a hard time making absolute declarations that a team was lucky or not. And more specifically, like, that, what that means in the future.
Yeah.
And again, I've written about luck. I've tried to put this context in there. But I just think we got to be real careful with trying to be certain, or at least, like, putting out there that we're more certain than we probably should be.
You know what luck is, Greenberg? When I hit my ball last year, I pulled it left, and I was like, damn, and the ball all of a sudden started to come back to the right. I wasn't trying to hit a cut. The wind blew it that way. It hit the ground and jumped in the hole. I can hit a 6-iron 185 yards, but I can't say it's going to land in that damn hole. Now, that was luck, okay? But for me to hit it consistently 185, yes, that happens all the time because I work at it.
It also means you're given a chance for that to happen.
Yeah, but the fact that it pops in the hole, that's luck. Now, if I get somebody that never picked up a golf club and they hit it in the hole the first time, that's extreme luck. Because I promise you, the next time he probably couldn't even get the ball off the ground.
Without a doubt. Like, what's repeatable? And that's kind of at the heart of data analytics for sports, right? Like, what is talent and what is luck?
Yeah.
And how do we know the difference?
Yeah.
And, you know, even with, like, dropped interceptions, which are part of that rubric, you know, that's part luck, part skill, right? Like, some defenders just have a hard time hauling in an interception.
Well, and but to Fortier's credit, I thought in that story he did a really good job of asking Dan Quinn about it. And Dan Quinn's like, yeah, you know.
That's why they move him to cornerback, because they can't catch.
Well, but he said, he's like, so one of the biggest pro-luck indicators in the data was when Juwan Johnson dropped the two-point conversion in New Orleans, where Washington was god-awful in the second half of that game, offense and defense. And if he brings that in, they lose. He didn't. And Dan Quinn's like, yeah, I guess you could call that a drop, but he also had Noah Eye hanging all over him. Like, what is Noah Eye's impact on the play?
Yeah.
And I just think context, to your earlier point, Neil, is so vital. And I think PFF is a really valuable service in a lot of ways, right? I think the formational stuff, information they can give you about how often a team runs 12, 13, what defenses do on third down. I think the stuff you can measure in football is largely pre-snap. Once that ball is snapped, there are so many people and so many things and an oblong-shaped leather ball. Like, it's just so hard to make any sort of quantifiable determination when there's 22 dudes running around trying to kill each other.
I agree.
Yeah, one of my favorite things is when Pro Football Focus gives a quarterback a high or low grade, because it's subjective, and then something objective like ESPN's total quarterback rating is completely opposite. So, like, Geno Smith's a good example. Geno Smith, Pro Football Focus rated 7th, and total quarterback rating were, like, in the 20s. So what that's saying to me is the process was good, the results aren't, and then that, to me, is interesting, because then I need to go in there and figure out why that's happening. Like, but that just goes to show you that we're measuring different things, and, you know, these all-in-one...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Stats, wins above replacement, grades, ratings, etc., really need to be the starting point of conversation and not the end point, because, like you said, a lot goes into playing a game, a sport, throwing the ball around, people moving, etc. Like, we just need to really figure out what it is that we know, and more importantly, what we don't know, and then make sure that's clear when we're using these type of things.
Very good conversation,
Neil.
Appreciate you, bud.
All right, love you guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Hi, brother.
That's our guy, Neil Greenberg. Give him a follow, at NGreenberg. Smart conversation there. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I've also enjoyed buying cars from Orsman Automotive of Virginia. I've enjoyed it enough that I've done it 4 times. B's bought about 100 of them. Orsman Automotive Group of Virginia has been in the car business in the DMV for 100 years, over 100 years. When you're doing stuff like that, when you're in business that long, you know they're doing something right. There's a reason I keep going back. There's a reason B. Mitch keeps going back. They've got convenient locations all over, from Alexandria to Chantilly. They got all the brands you want. Toyota, Kia, Ford, Lincoln, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, those big old Ram trucks, Chevys, Buick, GMC. I'm going to get it when the GMC Jimmy comes out. That's going to be my next car. But beyond just the unmatched selection, they've got great deals, great financing. Financing is key right now. And B, they got that Orsman Lifetime Edge.
Yep, I love going to places because of their customer service. And their customer service includes the Orsman Lifetime Edge. That includes up to $1,500 in extras, including the complimentary car wash with every scheduled maintenance, loan of cars with every major maintenance, and they give you the lifetime engine guarantee. And that's great news when at Orsman. If you have a car to sell, Orsman will pay you up to 125% of the Kelley Blue Book value, regardless of its make, model, or year. It's simple at Orsman. They'd like to keep their customers happy, just like they've done JP and I. We're two beyond satisfied Orsman customers, so let's ride together.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. If you missed any of our interview with Neil Greenberg, I thought it was a really good examination into what's going wrong with the Washington Nationals, how just day-to-day life is impacted by luck, how luck is created, how luck is eviscerated. I don't know. It's some questions don't have answers.
How luck is unexplainable.
Yeah, dude.
To be honest with you.
If you missed any of that, wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple, whatever, you can listen to our segment with Greenberg. It was a good one.
Very good.
I want to circle back to this because I think Nats fans are pissed for a number of different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're pissed at, like, at some point we need a different, I don't want to be too, like, cataclysmic about this, but the reality is we can keep calling it a rebuild if we want, but this might just be what the organization is. Like, nobody in Pittsburgh is calling that a rebuild because the Pirates have just sucked forever because they don't spend any money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Reds, like, some of these organizations, the Royals, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There are some of these organizations that are just bottom feeders, and occasionally they pop, right? I think the Royals won a World Series within the last 6-7 years. Maybe it was 10 years ago. But, like, the Nats might have just had their pop, and now this is who they are.
Yeah. And
I think fans are pissed about that because for a while, to their credit, the Lerner's spent, and this team was good, and they were a playoff contender every year. But it's now been 5 years, the opposite direction.
Yeah.
This is not a small sample anymore. And so I think fans are pissed about that. Then I think fans are pissed about the micro, the actual 10-game losing streak, losing 3 in a row to Miami and then 2 right now to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Understandably, fans are right to be pissed about all these things. But I wanted to circle back to Davey's comments over the weekend that really seemed to bother a lot of people. And from reporters I know and trust, Mark Zuckerman's telling me players were pissed.
I don't blame him.
Let's hear what Davey said.
When you look at the offense as a whole, I think you guys haven't produced like you wanted to this month. For you, how much of that is on the players, on coaching? What's
It's never on coaching. Never on coaching. Okay, coaches work their asses off every single day. You know, we're not going to finger point it here and say it's coaches. It's never on the coaches.
Now, that's not true. So, to say it's never on the coaching shows that he's not in tune with reality. Because a coach can teach you something the wrong way or tell you something the wrong way. Sometimes it's when they say something or how they say it, okay? We were playing golf yesterday. What did I tell you? I say, when the guy would say something real late,
yeah.
That's a problem. But to say it's never on coaching is BS.
It's defensive. I wonder, so there's been a lot of consternation about Darnell Coles, the hitting coach. And I feel like in that moment, Davey just wanted to pounce to protect his coach, his guy. If he to say it's never not, on coaching, then why are there coaches in the first place?
If he had
place?
Said,
why do you even exist?
It's not only on the coaches.
Sure.
Then I would have taken that. But to say it's never on the coaches, you got to be a damn fool. What you think? Coaches are perfect?
I think he misspoke. But sometimes it doesn't matter. If you misspoke, you still said it.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I'm not talking, you are a sage, very smart, calm grandfather now. I want to know what.
I don't know how true that is.
Some of those are true. I want to know what 27-year-old B. Mitch in a locker room reacts to that. Player in locker room hears coach say, it's not on us, it's on them.
I would have probably talked directly to that coach. And I was smart enough not to do it in front of other players or people like that. Walk in his office, have a conversation, and say, dog, you didn't mean to say what you said, did you? Because right now you're saying that we are screwing up and you all are perfect and you all are shouldn't be given any blame. And if that's what you truly believe, then guess what? You just lost this whole damn locker room. And I can understand now where what's the young lady that called it yesterday?
Anna.
Anna is saying he lost the locker room because I'm probably of that damn comment. Because that comment will lose you a locker room. When coaches say some things sometimes, they're just like any other person. They're not perfect with it. But it's never on the coaches. That's finality, right? So every time we have a problem, it's only on the players, not on the coaches. That's a damn lie. Some coaches are horrible. Some coaches get their job just because their boy is the head dude. Or they have some familiarity or some relative that was in the front office.
Sure.
Some coaches aren't good at what they do. And if you tell a player, coachable players, they do exactly what the coach says because there are players that want to give all, hey, man, you the coach, they hired you, I believe in you. And if you tell me something the wrong way, guess what I'm now doing? I'm now going 100% the wrong damn way. And then you will say that, me listening to you is not your fault, it's my fault. So I can understand why fans got pissed. And
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Why players would be ultimately pissed at that.
That was really, really good. Lou, whoever's listening, B. Mitch explaining that is really, really valuable. And hopefully fans heard it and can understand. I don't think it was an accident this morning. Mike Rizzo was on with the Junks, and he seemed to be in scramble mode a little bit. Like, just his comments. But one thing he said that I thought was on purpose is he said Davey still has the pulse of the clubhouse. I don't know that that's accurate.
Davey lost a lot of the pulse when he made that comment.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you're in a dire situation. This is when you're supposed to galvanize and come together. You basically pushed your players away. and you pulled your coaches closer to you, which now make a player have a problem with a coach that he was respecting just a little bit earlier. Because now, if the head man says it's never the coaches, now you're starting to think that that coach might have been lying to you, wasn't genuine with you. And that's that fractured yep. from relationships right there.
You're drawing a line.
I would expect him, listen, bro, he needs to, whether publicly or some type of way, go to those players and say, that's not what I meant. I meant to say it's not always, it's not just the coaches. And then that may help, but it's never the coaches. That's the quickest way to be like losing the damn locker room.
You draw a line. You create an us and them where it's supposed to just be all of us together. Mm-hmm. And it's tricky.
And it's just like little things. I remember one of my coaches, he said something which I didn't agree with, so I questioned him. And he told me, why are you questioning me? You're supposed to just listen. I said, no. I was taught when I don't agree with something to ask a question. And if you don't have a problem with trying to explain it, then it shouldn't be a problem, right? This dude went on to tell me I had no home training, which to me means now you're knocking my mom and my daddy.
Right.
So I had to step to him. I listen, everybody say what they want to say, that you've never been in a locker room, you don't understand the dynamics. Once he started questioning my mom and my dad, then I had to step to him and check him. And he quickly realized that, oh, I better change this up. No, he said, what I was saying is you're not respecting elders. Well, if the elder is wrong, why the hell am I respecting? Because eventually he was wrong. We found out that he was wrong. So you got to be careful what you say, especially to a group of men. I don't care if they're 21, 22,
elite athletes,
or they're 30. They are testosterone-driven dudes who know their craft if they're where they are. And let's be real. People don't just be given jobs to be players in the league.
Sure.
But there are a lot of people given jobs to be coaches in the league.
Well said right there. You know what else is well done? The folks from Door Pro America. I love my garage door, man. I walked out that way this morning, grabbed a Celsius, 2 bottles of water, closed it on my app. It's so easy. It's made a significant change in my home. Seriously. It looks better, and the functionality is just so much better than my old crappy garage door. The app is called MyQ. The MyQ technology really, really changes things when you have that capability on your phone. So say you got a cleaning lady or something. You got to let her in the house. Bang. Open the garage door from your phone. It's easy. The folks at Door Pro America are experts. They gave us a ton of options, gave us this Photoshop with all these cool pictures of garage doors. We got to pick the one we liked. The install was quick, and they kind of cleaned out my garage. Shout out to them. They did a hell of a job. They're based here in the DMV. They've been doing this for over 50 years. They can do whatever you need. I needed a new garage door, but if you just need repairs or maintenance, they can do that too. Call today. You can save $60 on a repair or $150 on a new garage door. Call 877-DOOR-PRO. That's 877-DOOR-PRO. Tell them J.P. Finley sent you, or you can check out the website, doorproamerica.com. Appears to be cratering. Mm-hmm. Two experiences I had as a reporter, obviously, not as a player, but one where a coach was fired midseason. Two, where it was obviously coach was going to be fired, but they let him finish out the season. Mm-hmm. I'm honestly not sure what, in my determination, is better for a locker room because they both suck. Mm-hmm. In 2019, Jay Gruden was fired after an 0-5 start.
Yeah,
everybody pretty much knew he was getting fired after they lost to the Giants in the Meadowlands. I think Jay has publicly said he thought he was going to get fired then. They bring in Callahan. Callahan tried to, like, change a lot of things and instill, like, a very disciplinarian approach. It wasn't particularly well-received, especially among veteran players. Mm-hmm. That whole season was shot before it really got started anyway. The roster had just been, they just didn't have enough. But that had a significantly negative impact on the locker room, on the players. And you get to know the players. You're there every day. Like, you can feel what they feel. You're all in the same room. That's not to say we get let all the way in, but we get let in. And then I was there at the end of the Ron era, where it was obvious you had to get rid of Ron. But, you know, the new owners wanted to handle it with some level of grace and class and let him finish out the season. But it was a disaster. And I don't know, frankly, that that was better either, when everybody's walking around kind of with doomsday looming rather than knowing what is coming.
Yeah.
So as we look at this Nats situation, I don't believe Davey's coaching him next year, right? But I don't know what the right way to do it is.
But the question I would ask is this, okay? I hear when they say, nah, they do it out of respect. Are the players being respected when a coach has been given up on already? And I don't know if front offices or ownership understands players' sense when you've given up on a coach. I was in New York. Jim Fossils was fired midway through the season. When every player began to notice that, the whole dynamic changed. You saw cliques begin to form. You saw guys becoming closer to front office people and guys who were trying to position themselves. And you saw guys just going about their job. But you know what? One thing you didn't have? You didn't have a damn team. So when I look at this stuff, yes, if you do it before the season or not, what if you were to do it before the season is over? If he's lost the locker room based off of that comment, maybe the other person starts getting the locker room back and they're in a better position moving into next year, since it doesn't make a difference. You wait till the end of the year. Now you've sat there and you've hindered another person from coming in and having an opportunity, and you're also held the players back as well. So you don't know which way is right, but I say in sports all the time, players are expected to uphold the integrity of a league. But everybody else get respect in everything that goes on. The players don't.
What was it like? You've talked about that year with the Giants just being awful, right?
Yes, it was pure hell.
What was it like, though? Was it 99 when Dan, did he fire Norv late, or was that 2000?
I was gone then.
You were in Philly by
then. That's when Terry.
Rubisky got the end of it. Yeah.
That was in 2000.
What was it like, even late in your Skins tenure, once Dan took over and clearly just hated Norv?
Like, but that was, see, Dan didn't really have, like, he tried to take credit for that run in 99. He had no control in 99. They were just hanging around to learn the stuff. Right. He took over in 2000. So when he came around, and Vinny would be around asking questions and saying stuff, which I really knew he wasn't very intelligent. And as they went forward, you began to see the things that he was talking about and how they enact. That stuff began to come and go into fruition, and you saw how bad things worked. But that 1999 year, that team, they had no fingerprints on that. That all happened before them. But they tried to take credit for it.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know the right recipe here. I don't know. There's somebody I think that could be really good at this job, that when things were really good here, everybody loved him. And then I think ownership just didn't want to pay him. Mm-hmm. Remember Kevin Long, the hitting coach, when they won?
Yeah.
And now Kevin Long's the hitting coach for the Phillies, and all they do is hit bombs.
Yep.
And he's, like, well-loved all around baseball. Sometimes you need a breath of fresh air, man.
Yep. That's what you need sometimes.
A breath of fresh air. Steve Sands joins us next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.